And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is Greg Guidros from Vermilionville, here to talk about their ongoing series, Seed to Skillet. And you all were here earlier this year talking about the debut of that series. And takes every you guide people all the way from planting things to actually using them in your kitchen, hence the Seed to Skillet.
That's correct. We kind of walk you through the whole process from planting the garden. This month, we're actually going to be covering common insects problems in the garden, common insect problems, common fungal problems, and actually organic remedies, a few recipes to actually take care of those problems before going to the big guns if you need to go to the big pesticides. But there are definitely organic ways to control pests in the garden without having to go to those extremities. We'll also be covering a few recipes for manure teas and compost teas, as well as a few recipes on how to preserve and enjoy the fruits of your labor, I guess you could say.
Well, when y'all were here last, you were talking about leafy greens, which I guess were growing at that point still earlier in the very, very early spring. And give us a sense of what's happening in gardens right now. What are people growing right now?
Okay, so it's still pretty early in the season. Right now, the tomatoes, I'm actually starting to get some of my first tomatoes coming through. My okra is not quite ripe yet, but it's on its way. The mirlitons, they're still pretty early. Everything's really early right now. If you plant it early, if you started everything really early, you might be getting some early fruits right now. However, the idea is to try to allow people recipes and provide farm recipes for when these things do come into fruition in a few weeks. You already have some recipes. You'll have the know-how, and then you'll be ready to go whenever the garden starts growing. Because when my tomatoes come in, sometimes I'm up till 12 o'clock at night cooking those things.
Yeah. Well, I guess then some things are very early and they're not quite ripe for picking. Most people are in the process of tending to their gardens and seeing about weeds and pests. And so you're very interested in talking with them, not this weekend, but next on the 15th.
That's right,
about
June 15th.
What they can do to really tend their gardens. So tell us about how the event will go. It starts at 11 in the morning on the 15th. What are you all going to do?
That's right. So on June 15th, beginning at 11 a.m., we'll begin with a cooking demonstration. We'll have Granny Gertrude helping us out with a cooking demonstration. We're going to demonstrate how to make corn makshu. We'll do homemade salsa, and we'll also do fig preserves. So those will be the three demonstrations. And then after that, we'll start covering some of the garden tips, kind of like a little gardening workshop. Mm-hmm. And that's where we'll cover the organic remedies for some of the common pests.
All right. So Granny Gertrude, is she someone who's worked at Vermilionville for a while?
She actually helped us with the last Seed to Skillet. She's really good, really kind, and it's usually a pretty good turnout.
Yeah. Right. Well, you mentioned corn makshu, and I do know that some people are starting to get corn in their garden, so you'll probably have some actual fresh corn there.
We will have fresh
demonstrate.
Corn.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
right. And the best time of year to have fresh corn makshu is when it's fresh. You know
That's
what
right.
I mean? It's just not the same when you try it out of a can.
Mm-hmm.
If you want that good, sweet flavor, it's got to be fresh off the cob.
Okay, so she'll be demonstrating that, and you're hoping with all these rains to have a few fresh figs to demonstrate making fig preserves, because when those start ripening, you really want to be ready to make your fig preserves.
That's right. We really want to be ready. Figs usually start coming in the end of June, so June 15th, it might be a little early. However, we're hoping to get a few early figs on our trees. We have some that are starting to ripen up already. I might be able to find enough for a batch, and then we'll definitely demonstrate that, how to preserve those and how to can those, and that way you could actually use them throughout the rest of the year. They'll be preserved because figs are only ripe on the tree for about 2 or 3 weeks, and after that, after the 4th of July, they're pretty much done.
That's right, and you'll want some midway through the year, and when your friends are opening up their fig preserves, you'll want to have your own. Well, I know you're really interested in tending gardens. You've worked a long time with natural methods for keeping your garden pest-free, keeping down fungus. So tell us about what you're going to be talking about. What are you going to instruct people in?
Okay, so we actually have a few recipes. We're going to cover recipes for garlic sprays, how to use the natural remedy methods of the natural uses of garlic to help control aphids, other small pests that are actually affected
vampires
by garlic.
Vampires and aphids. Aphids are the vampires of the vegetable world.
They kind of are. You know, they kind of stick their little sucklers in there, and they can do some damage to the crops if you get a real bad infestation. We'll also be covering some of the beneficial insects of the garden, right? So lots of things. Bees, we have certain parasitic wasps that actually lay their eggs in certain things like tomato hornworms. And those are allies in the garden. And that's one of the reasons why you don't want to go straight to the big guns right off, because those pesticides actually kill off, as well as the pests, they kill off a lot of the beneficial insects that are actually working with the gardener. So that's why I like to try to keep it mild and do whatever we can organically before we have to resort to bigger methods. And the ladybugs, actually. Ladybugs are really great for taking care of aphids. You know, they always say it was good luck to have ladybugs around, and aphids have been a problem for quite some time for gardeners. So if you got a lot of ladybugs around, those things can eat about 30 or 40 aphids every day.
So do you buy ladybugs? Do you introduce them into your garden?
Well, they're natural. We do have some around here. However, there are different places. You can go onto the internet, look up different websites, and you can actually purchase ladybugs. And there are certain times of the year that you actually want to introduce them to the garden, because you want to introduce them at the time that their life cycle is going to facilitate them growing into the garden kind of naturally. That way they can take care of the aphids while they're a problem.
Mm-hmm. And what do particular vegetables do aphids attack? Is it all vegetables, or are there particular ones that they...
I usually have problems with them on my greens, leafy greens. Aphids really love those leafy greens. So that's the biggest problem. And some of the problems for the tomatoes are the tomato hornworms. You know, everybody sees those big green tomato hornworms.
Anyone who's grown tomatoes, just the name strikes fear. Everyone's walked out and seen their tomato bush.
Or haven't seen it anymore.
That's right. They don't see it anymore.
Right.
So what do you were mentioning wasps. Are there other means of dealing with hornworms?
Well, there are chickens. There's fishing. You can put them in a little jar of cornmeal. Mm-hmm. Kind of harden them up, and some people like to use them for fishing bait, depending on the sunshine, depending on the weather.
Of course, that's if you catch them before they get to the tomatoes. Huh?
That's right, and you want to get them before they get a little too big. Once they get too big, they're not quite as delicious anymore. So the younger ones are actually better for fishing and for the chickens.
Yeah. If you are just tuning in, my guest is Greg Guitros from Vermilionville, here talking about the Seed to Skillet series that began earlier in the year in March. It is now continuing. The next one is this next weekend, June 15th, and it will continue through the year at various stages of our gardens. And Greg and other people who work at Vermilionville will be instructing us on every stage of it, literally from the seeds to the
That's
skillet,
right,
where we can cook what we've grown.
Right.
And this particular portion of the Seed to Skillet series will focus on veggies, but in particular, you're saying, Greg, how to keep our vegetable gardens going so that we have vegetables to cook.
That's right. We're going to be focused on kind of maintenance, taking care of the problems as the garden grows. Not only do we enjoy the fruits of the garden, but also other things like insects. So taking care of those problems before they become too hard to handle.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned earlier, and I'm sure some people have never heard of that, teas made out of manure and some out of compost. Is this something that people have done for quite a while, or is this something that we've just sort of learned about?
I can only imagine that it's been done for quite some time. With a lot of the research being done on organic methods, it's become quite popular recently, for sure. And the point of making a tea is to take the nutrients in the manure, the nutrients in the compost, and then put it into a liquid form. That way it's actually readily accessible to the plants. That way they can absorb it, because it's already in water form. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to rain. It doesn't have to put it into that form. So it's already there, and it's very readily accessible. It's quite an effective method, actually.
And you were mentioning one. I wouldn't have thought about that, but I guess the seeds that are the weed seeds that are in the compost or the manure are not destroyed, and I guess tea, boiling them, making a tea, destroys those weed seeds.
Right. Well, we say tea, but you don't necessarily boil the water.
Oh, okay.
However, like cow manure, horse manure, they don't actually digest the seeds as they're chewing and making their manure. So putting it in water actually takes care of those weed seeds before they become a problem as you add them to the garden. So you can actually put them in water, soak them in water, use the water that's mixed with the tea and apply that to the garden as a great fertilizer. And then once the tea has pretty much been used up, you have good manure at the bottom that doesn't have any more weeds in it, and then you can actually add that to the garden later on, till that into the soil, and it's a win-win situation.
Although you're not really talking about bringing it into your house and boiling it up on the stove. sort of a large bucket outside would
right,
suffice.
You can do it in a 5-gallon bucket. You can do it in a little trash can. You can do it in a 50-gallon barrel.
Depending on how big your garden is.
Depending on how big your garden, how average your garden is. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So lots of things to learn about how to deal with our gardens. And you talked about earlier before we went on about having that relationship with your garden and really understanding its rhythms and understanding what it needs. I think sometimes maybe those of us who are just starting on gardens, we think of sort of imposing things on gardens, you know, like you said, either putting pesticides or harsher methods on gardens. But yours sounds like more of a gentle relationship with the garden.
Right. Mm-hmm. And gardening is a relationship, you know. The more time you spend in the garden, the more you understand the garden, the more you understand the insects that come into the garden, those that come and feed on the plants and those that come and feed on the insects that are feeding on the plants, as well as the seasons. Just being outside, it tends to create an understanding of the world. The world turns, the sun comes up, the rain falls, and this always happens, you know, and becoming intimate, understanding these processes, the earth has a habit of her own. So understanding how she works is what makes a gardener a good gardener. And it's all about building a relationship. You have to be out there to foster the relationship and nurture it.
Hmm. How big is your garden? You have obviously gardens at Vermilionville. Do you have a personal garden also at your home?
I have a little garden this year. It's not the best garden this year. I don't have that much time to
work. You spend so much time.
However, I've in the past, last year actually, I'm still eating tomato sauce that I've cooked out of the garden. I just went through my last jar of tomato salsa, so I'm waiting for some of my tomatoes to come up so I could make some more salsa. I still got pepper jelly, and every time I go to a nice little potluck, I show up with a can of pepper jelly, a little bit of cream cheese, some crackers, and everybody's like, oh, it's Greg's pepper jelly.
Mm. So it's not only personally satisfying, but you enrich the lives of your friends as well.
That's right. Mm-hmm. The relationship, it keeps building and building and building, because as you have fruits of your labor, you have something to share, and then you're able to share with your friends, your family, your community, and the relationship just gets stronger and stronger as the years go on, as you learn more and more and more.
Well, tell us about the gardens you tend at Vermilionville. Give us a sense of the scope of the gardens that are there.
Okay, so I have a few small gardens. Besides all of the flowering plants, we have much more flowering plants than we have actual garden space. There's three small little gardens. All together, I have about 12 or 13 rows. And those rows are set up to where we try to perpetuate some of the heirloom seeds that we've been collecting through the years, working with CRIE, which is our local seed bank that we're establishing at the moment. So trying to work and perpetuate those heirlooms, keeping those alive, and actually using the gardens as a demonstration. It's much more of a demonstration, kind of an interpretive element of the village, where we kind of cover the origin of these plants. Everything that we kind of take for granted, we think that always existed in South Louisiana, that actually came from all different places all around the world. And now they grow quite well in Louisiana. It's become quite a part of our local cuisine. And we use the gardens as an interpretive element to kind of explain to people how integral and how elaborate that our gardening and our culture has become from everyone adding a little bit from everywhere around the world as they've kind of reconvened in Louisiana over the years.
Mm-hmm. But it also, the few times that I've been to Vermilionville and seeing your gardens there, it looks so organic in the sense of very natural that it makes me just really understand a time when everybody had a garden by their house. Then everyone had, whether they were growing for a large family or they just had, small needs, that it was just a natural part of life here. And I think we've kind of forgotten that. But there is also that natural food movement that has really inspired a lot of people in this area. And many people are interested in growing some of their own food recently.
That's right. There's been a great big push, not only for Vermilionville, but there's definitely a bunch of organizations around the Acadiana region that are kind of making that move back to the kind of the local gardening. And there's just something that comes with eating food that you've grown for yourself. It helps to dispel all the worries of the world. You know what I mean? Whenever you can grab a tomato fresh from the plant and just kind of sit there and enjoy it. The news and all the bad news that you listen to day after day, it kind of just fades away. And it's like, you don't have anything to worry about because the sun's still shining, tomatoes are still growing, and everything's just, it's going to be all right, you know? So that kind of gives you a sense of peace and security.
Well, and knowing that you've learned those skills as well, that you can create a garden and sustain a garden with some of the techniques that you're talking about now and others that you'll impart to people for this event. Is this event something you have to reserve a place for, or can you just show up?
So you can register in person at Vermilionville, or you can go online to pre-register at vermilionville.org. That's VermilionVille.org. Or you can call 337-233-4077, and you can call and reserve a space. And the space is limited, so if you are interested, you should probably get on the phone or get online and or come into Vermilionville and see what we got to offer and secure a space, yeah.
And certainly part of the day is getting the opportunity to ask you questions.
That's right.
Yeah, in addition
to time.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that you had tomatoes in your garden. Do you have some favorite vegetables that you like to grow besides tomatoes?
Tomatoes and bell peppers. I spend a lot of time doing tomatoes and bell peppers because I love tomato salsa. I love homemade tomato sauce. And bell peppers. Bell peppers aren't too cheap in the store anymore. It's really hard to make a nice sauce without some good bell peppers. So I got quite a bit of garden space actually dedicated to tomatoes and bell peppers.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned your pepper jelly. Are those hot peppers that you grow?
Well, the pepper jelly is a mixture of hot peppers and sweet bell peppers. If you made it all out of hot peppers, it might be a little too hot. So you kind of mild it down with some of the sweeter peppers, but enough hot peppers to give it that spicy flavor.
All right. So if people have questions about tomato sauce or salsa, they can certainly ask you. Now, in addition to the gardens that you mentioned at Vermilionville, I know there's a medicinal garden, a healing garden there. Tell us about that one.
That's right. So the medicinal garden is taken care of by the Lafayette Master Gardeners. They do classes every once in a while. And we're working towards, actually, a lot of the plants have actually been sent to the lab, and they're actually testing the different qualities of the plants on the effects on diabetes. So that we're actually working on seeing if these old-time medicines, these old-time plants, actually have some real value in their medicinal qualities. So that research is kind of an ongoing project that's actually being developed as the gardens become more and more a part of the village. So it's very interesting.
Well, and it's a beautiful garden to view. It's arranged all around a house. You can walk around the house and see it. And you all have created this wonderful brochure, a little booklet with the names of all of the plants that are seasonal. So some appear during certain seasons.
Right.
They're not all there at one time. But it's in English and French. It's a wonderful little book. And are those always available at Vermilionville?
The booklets are available at Vermilionville. If you come in, you can ask for one. And actually, right now, there's lots of things in the medicinal garden as well as the other grounds of Vermilionville that are starting to come into blossom. Everything, the color is just starting to come out. And right now, and especially the next few weeks, if you come in to see the medicinal garden, you'll be able to see the beauty that all these flowers start producing when they do make flowers.
So a great time to visit Vermilionville.
It's a great time to visit. Right.
So if you sign up for Seed to Skillet, will you have the opportunity as well to view the other gardens, the rest of Vermilionville?
That's right, yes. So The admission is $15 for adults, $10 for students, and children under six, it's actually free. And that's going to be on June 15th, and that covers the cooking demonstration. It also covers the garden workshop. And if you would like to take a tour throughout the village, you're welcome to do that as well.
All right, and get to see some of those colors and medicinal plants that Greg was just telling us about. Again, my guest is Greg Guidros with Vermilionville, talking about their Seed to Skillet series that takes place throughout the year. There are four segments, one for each season. The next one is June 15th. It's on veggies and tending your vegetable garden to ensure that you have vegetables to cook. But there will be cooking demonstrations along with it.
Correct.
And there's always information about how to sign up at their website, or you can, of course, give them a call. And I believe this Sunday, there's another very special reason for people to visit Vermilionville.
That's right. We do. We have Creole Culture Day, which will be this Sunday. It begins at 10 a.m. to 5 a.m. And they'll have lots of events. We'll have storytelling. We'll have some Mardi Gras Indians coming down. We'll have a Creole jam led by Mr. Brandon Lede. We'll have more cooking demonstrations. They'll have dance lessons, lots of crafts for kids, as well as artists presenting their local Creole crafts as well. There'll be boat tours and canoe trips that you can take into the little petite bayou, our little pond around there. We'll have Gino Delfosse and Corey Arsenault playing music, as well as an award ceremony for Mr. Richard Clayton. We definitely want to thank Lafayette Consolidated Government and Acadiana Center for the Arts for helping us fund this Creole Culture Day as well.
And it's a free Creole Culture Day.
That's right. It's free to the public. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So I think you try to keep your culture days free so that the entire community can attend.
That's right. It's about local people being able to come over to Vermilionville and kind of digest and start to understand their own culture. A lot of us have lived here our whole lives and really don't understand how beautiful our culture is. Mm-hmm. And Vermilionville is one of those places where you can go, and this weekend you can come for free and kind of digest and begin to understand how beautiful this culture actually is.
Well, so many opportunities to learn so much at Vermilionville.
Right.
They have a website, Facebook page, and you can always call them for more information. Greg, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you
for all your work on this project.
Thank you so very much.